Father, we don't understand your word unless your Holy Spirit teaches us. And we have lots to learn because it seems like every twist and every chapter and every line seems to give us more information. And we can study it and study it and still glean so much. And Lord, I'm so grateful it's the living word. I'm so grateful it's the manna of life because you guide us. You are so concerned about every woman in this class. And I am grateful that you are, Lord. Thank you. You deal with us in mercy and not in judgment. Now teach us, Lord. We're wanting to hear your voice, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Then the king gave the command to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. Ever had a wild dream? I did when I was a kid. I had tigers chasing me. And I think that came from the Jungle Book.
That's a Freudian book.
But fortunately, I don't have those kind that now either the enemy's outgrown my brain or my brain is too deep in la-la land. So I don't have those terrible dreams. But what was your response? Did you stand up in bed?
Oh, my
God. I remember somebody saying that once, and it just struck me very funny. No, I hid under the covers. But did you notice in this week's lesson there wasn't a panic response from the king? An urgent response, but not a panic one. But he was troubled. It must have been very real to him, this dream that he had. But God had a plan behind all of this. Can you just see how God is setting it all up to instruct Daniel and get to the king? It's amazing how much he goes to great lengths. Perhaps your salvation was that way. This person prayed for you and then passed it on to this person, and five other people over here prayed for you. You know, it's amazing what lengths God goes to. Well, how many of us would have been in the royal eunuchs? Well, who were the royal eunuchs? The royal eunuchs were the astrologers and the wizards and whatever else they had. And because they were not Jewish. Now, Daniel and his boys were in a different category because they were Jews. So we can call these other fellows the royal eunuchs. Yeah, they were fixed because they dwelt in the palace. And they, again, there couldn't be any hanky-panky going on behind the scenes, so everybody in the palace was taken care of. And would you have been with those royal eunuchs by saying, well, if you don't tell us what the dream is, how can we interpret it? I would have been one of those. I would have said, it's impossible to try to figure out what you're talking about if we don't know the dream. Did you happen to notice what kind of death they were going to have?
Nasty.
In some cases, they pulled them apart.
Is that limb from Thanksgiving?
You're from limb to limb. And in other voices, they hacked them to death. So they were afraid. Wonder why. Daniel wanted to know the urgency. It's interesting. He wanted to talk with the king. So he went and talked to the captain of the guard, Arioch, something like that. And but do you remember studying Esther? Now, most of you weren't with me when we studied Esther, but she couldn't do something. She just couldn't walk in on the king. She could lose her life doing that, because the king had to bid you into his presence. And but remember, she said, "If I perish, I perish." And that's where we have it. And I believe Daniel was of that same ilk. So he wanted to talk to the king, and this captain of the guard was going to kill him eventually, because he was going to kill all the wise men. So I guess he figured, I'll just let him go in and he'll take care of it. The king will take care of it. So he plows right in. And he could have been killed just doing that much. That's kind of scary. Daniel was such a man of faith. You're just going to come across that lesson after lesson. Well, the news went out that this was coming from the king's palace. The captain of the guard had let Daniel in. And you can imagine what the conversation was. "You mean you think as a Jew you're better than my astrologists and my soothsayers and all the rest?" And but they had failed, hadn't they? But Daniel told the king, "My God will give me the answer to what you desire. Let me pray to him for one night, and you will certainly have an answer tomorrow. But if not, put me to death." I know, that's pretty awesome faith to believe that God is going to give it to him. But see, he was going to be facing death anyway, so he was looking at the whole picture. When Daniel left the king, where did he go? He went to his three buddies. That is such a place to go, you know. Not the phone, necessarily. Not to your telephone. But he went and told them, "Our lives are all in danger. This is urgent. We need to fast and pray, for the king will kill us all and all his wise men." Thank you. And how tragic this would be. So he asked his three buddies to fast and pray with him until bedtime, and then we can go to sleep. And I thought, well, if you have death hanging over you, can you go to sleep? But he was so confident in who God was and is, knowing that God would give him an answer tomorrow. But remember, Daniel told them to pray in mercy. And I just had to write that question down, because why did he ask them to do that? Well, it's simply because all the Jews were under judgment. And you don't have a right to even go in before the king. You don't have a right to most anything. And so I think that was the number one reason. But then I thought about it during the week, and I thought, you know, that's a good way to enter into God's presence, is to ask God for mercy. Good way to start. I have a tendency just to blow in and tell God my needs and blow out again. And I think, how much better to seek God's mercy. But because who are we? We're simply sinners saved by grace. You know, take a little time to worship. Take a little time to be under God's grace of mercy. Then, then these fellows went to bed and went to sleep. Again, such trust. Do you and I have trust like that? Or would we be found pacing the floor? And before dawn, Daniel had the same dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. And so So Daniel jumped up and down and ran all the way to the palace and said, God has showed me the dream and you might reward me.
Wow.
No. That's what I would have done. These lessons are so humbling. It's awful at times. Now, he didn't do that at all, because that's what I would have done. That's why God can't trust me too much. So he first went to his eastern window, that's what I think, because he was known for bowing through his eastern window towards Jerusalem 3 times a day. Now, I'm not up to 3 times a day praying, but that's the kind of guy Daniel was. And I think he just fell to the floor with thanksgiving to the God he loved. And good place to be. Daniel will speak to the emperor of the known world. Step back a minute from these lessons and realize who Nebuchadnezzar is. And at no extra charge, I will tell you this, that Nebuchadnezzar is the first Gentile king to rule over the Jews, over Jerusalem. And that's still, it's better since 1948, but they're surrounded by enemies, so he is the emperor of the known world. What an amazing dream they both had. But did you first see what Daniel did? He went to his buddies, and I think they prayed together. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. Do our prayers start like that? For wisdom and might are his, and he changes the time and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. Doesn't that encourage you a little bit? And gives knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. Who are those? Are those people that live very surfacely and don't seek the Lord and everything? No. That there's those that want to know more. And isn't this beautiful? He knows what's in the darkness. So if you have a bad dream and you're standing up in the middle of your bed, just remember that God knows what's in the darkness. And the light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers, and have given me wisdom and might. And now you've made known to me what we ask of you. For you have made known to us the king's demand. Oh, that is so beautiful. I just love it. What an amazing dream Nebuchadnezzar had. He predicts the future of 4 successive empires. This will be in next week's lesson. Babylon, Medo-Persia, the Greeks, and the Romans. And by the time you get to the feet, you kind of wonder how this thing is standing. But that's a revival of the old Roman Empire. And there's a little chart that was given to you with the figure. Look that over. That was very informative to me of the failure of government. So you may be distraught over this coming election, but don't be, because God's in charge. We may not like the way he's working, but he's working for sure. Okay. And, of course, the final empire, which is Jesus Christ's empire at the end of times, which is Christ's kingdom. We can hardly wait. His reign over the whole earth, that'll be Jesus Christ. And guess what? His government will work. Well, this dream made the king very uneasy, so he lost sleep. Don't go there. You don't need to. Nebuchadnezzar was the first ruler, as I told you, of the Gentiles, and on it goes with until 1948, when Israel became a nation. And in 19, 67 was the Six-Day War, and Israel got back Jerusalem. That was the first time since when Nebuchadnezzar came in and destroyed them. It's just amazing. So, you know, if God promises something, it's going to come to pass.
That's right.
So, well, he had called on all his advisors, and they couldn't tell him diddly. So, the question came in the question box last week, and I think it's a real good one. Who were these advisors? Well, these advisors were Babylonians, and sometimes you come across the word Chaldeans. It means the same thing, but they're not Jews. So where were they getting their stuff? Well, there's one where they cut out the liver out of a goat, and then they read the liver. And you have to remember, it keeps hitting me. Is the area, Babylon, in the story of where the plain of Shinar was? And the plain of Shinar is where, what's his face? Can't remember his name. Built the tower.
Nimrod,
thanks. The brain isn't working so hot today. And what did they feel? They felt they didn't need God, that all they had to do was build a tower high enough they could read all the stars. So he's saying, what about my astrologers or my magicians? Well, the best they can come up with is some man's idea, because they weren't tuned in to the Lord. And they were all threatened death, so no matter what they did, they weren't going to have an interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Nebuchadnezzar wanted to see if these guys were true to their craft. I mean, after all, if you say you can foretell the future, okay, here I have something that I think is about the future. Tell me about it. And they couldn't do it. And it's the same thing for us today. Those are all no-nos. I was looking up in Scripture last night just how many times it's been repeated to the Jews. Don't consult this. Don't go there. And we're doing the same thing today. You know, it might have a little different name to it. It might have crystals' name to it. It might have astrology, I understand, is a whole house off from the original one in Babylon. I don't know. There's the Burning Man. There's, you could just go on and on with what kids were looking for answers. You know, it's just so wrong. But they were all advisors, and they weren't doing a very good job. But it was really a pagan environment, and I think that would have been equally as hard for Daniel and his friends to stand up against. And Chaldean has always been associated with magic and divination, and I think that we saw that way back in Genesis with Nimrod. Well, they had only one passion, all those guys, was to satisfy the king's wishes, and now they couldn't do that. And the king didn't want it a day or two later, but they were still of the persuasion they needed to be told the dream. I'm glad Nebuchadnezzar didn't give it to them, because you can imagine all the different interpretations those guys would have come up with. You know, and if the goat had cancer or something else, it would be a bad read on that liver. So, the head guard was rounding them all up to kill them, and Daniel intervened. I thought that was an amazing fact, because you know these guys aren't giving out truth. You know they're, of the occult, we would call it today, but he saved their lives. And I thought that was just amazing. 25 through the end of our lesson this week is so good. It says, "Then Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king and thus said to him, 'I have found a man of the captives of Judah who will make known to the king the interpretation.' The king answered and said to Daniel, 'Whose name was Belteshazzar? Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation?' Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, 'The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers.'" Now, your Bible may have a little different list, but they all fall into the same bag. "That there is a God in heaven." Look at this. It's so beautiful. "There's a God in heaven who reveals secrets. And he's made it known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be the latter days." Now, when you read "in the latter days," it always means the end times. That's another thing you just stick in there someplace. "Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while you were on your bed about what would come to pass after this. And he revealed secrets as made known to you what will be. But as for me, the secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living, but for our sakes who make known the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart." So who is all this for? King Nebuchadnezzar. And of course, Daniel saves their lives. Now, if you want to know anything more about that statue, tune in next week, because we'll be getting it. But there's a few things we can gather from this. I have, "Since God will be awake all night, go to sleep." Now, I'm sure you've heard that before, but since he'll be awake all night, just go to sleep with a quiet, trusting mind. And you can, the heart can rest in his sovereign control. You don't know what the future holds, but now this is very old, yes, but you know who holds the future.
Amen.
And I think it's really good we don't know, because all of us would probably say, "No, I don't like that." So it's good not to know the future. He knows what's in the darkness again, and he'll reveal the secret things. And I like this fact most of all right now. He controls government. Since the whole world is in his hands, your world is in God's hands. That's why you can rest and trust in him. Okay, I'm going to end with this little quote here from Warren Wiersbe. It says, "Does God still use dreams to communicate his will? Certainly he can do so if he pleases, but this isn't his usual approach. God guides his children today by his Holy Spirit as they pray, seek his face, and meditate on his word, and consult with their spiritual leaders. The danger is that our dreams may not come from the Lord." I know that tiger wasn't coming from the Lord. But I was just a kid. "The danger is," and that is a danger, "the human subconscious is capable of producing dreams. And Jeremiah 23:25-32 indicates that demonic forces can cause dreams that are Satan's lies and not God's truth. It's dangerous to accept dreams as messengers from the Lord." And I think that's such a good warning. Now you say, "Well, I hear that in Indonesia and other places they have visions." Well, a vision's different than a dream. A dream has more to it. A vision is like the appearance of Christ. Now, my observation with my kids living over there is that where it's very dark, that God will appear to somebody to get their attention. Now, is that from the Lord? They need to test the spirits. But if he appears again, then they need to find out what's going on. So it really has a lot to do with darkness. And a dream's different. This is real prophecy here that we'll be getting into next week. Anyway, Father, we thank you again that governments are in your control. And you show us through this statue just how frail they get as time goes along. And that all human government will one day fail. Because only you can rule man. Man cannot rule himself. And we're becoming more and more aware of that. Lord, we need to be tuned into you, to know you deeper, to know your word, so that we don't go astray, to know how you speak to us, Lord. Help us to crave your word, to be hungry for it, to be hungry to hear your voice, that our lives might reflect who you are, and that others might see that and want it for themselves. Bless each woman here, Lord. You know exactly where they're at. You know those that have come suffering, that you might alleviate those pains. For our good friend that's just been diagnosed with cancer, we ask that you might undertake for her. Lord, every day is a new thing. And I just thank you that you're in charge, that everything rests in your hands. Even my problems rest in your hands. Thank you, Lord. What a great Savior you are. In precious name, amen.